Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Purana, Canto 1, Creation. Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, text number 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nati Prasidad Vridaya Sarasvatyas Tate Shuchau Vitakaryan Vivikta Stha Idam Chovacha Dharma Vit Nati Prasidad Riddayaha Sarasvatyastate Shuchau Vitarkayan Vivittasta Idang Chovacha Dharma Vit. Please chant. Ladies, anyone else? Not. Ati prasidat. Very much satisfied. Hridaya. At heart. Sarasvatya. Of the river Sarasvati. Tate. On the bank of. Shuchau, being purified. Vitarkayan, having considered. Vaviktastha, situated in a lonely place. Idamcha, also this. Uvacha, said. Dharmavit, one who knows what religion is. Please repeat. Thus the sage, being dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect. Because he knew the essence of religion. And he said within himself. Purport by the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama 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 eva kevalam kalau nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. So in looking over this verse yesterday, I went through Chaitanya Charitamrita and found appropriate verses and purports which will help us to appreciate what it means to know what is religion, because there's this word, one who knows what religion is. The great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadev from four original verses, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any scripture other than Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 2. The words Maha Muni Krite indicate that Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva, who is sometimes known as Narayana Mahamuni because he is an incarnation of Narayan. Vyasadeva, therefore, is not an ordinary man, but is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He compiled the beautiful Bhagavatam to narrate some of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, a distinction between real religion and pretentious religion, I looked up that word pretentious, comes from the word pretend. Pretentious religion has been clearly made. According to the original and genuine commentation on the Vedanta Sutra, there are numerous present pretentious faiths that passed as religion but neglect the real essence of religion. The real religion of a living being is one's natural inborn quality, whereas pretentious religion is a form of nescience that artificially covers a living entity's pure consciousness under certain unfavorable conditions. Real religion lies dormant when artificial religion dominates from the mental plane. A living being can awaken this dormant religion by hearing with a pure heart. The path of religion prescribed by Srimad Bhagavatam is different from all forms of imperfect religiosity. Religion can be considered in the following three divisions. Number one, the path of fruitive work. Number two, the path of knowledge and mystic powers. And three, the path of worship and devotional service. The path of fruitive work, karma kanda, even when decorated by religious ceremonies meant to elevate one's material condition, is a cheating process because it can never enable one to gain relief from material existence and achieve the highest goal. A living entity perpetually struggles hard to rid oneself of the pangs of material existence. But the path of fruitive work leads one to either temporary happiness or temporary distress in material existence. By pious fruitive work, one is placed in a position where one can temporarily feel material happiness, whereas vicious activities lead one to a distressful position of material want and scarcity. However, even if one is put into the most perfect situation of material happiness, one cannot in that way become free from the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. A materially happy person is therefore in need of the eternal relief that mundane religiosity, in terms of fruitive work, can never award. The paths of the culture of knowledge, Jnana Marg, and of mystic powers, Yoga Marg, are equally hazardous. For one does not know where one will go by following these uncertain paths. An empiric philosopher in search of spiritual knowledge may endeavor most laboriously for many, many births in mental speculation. But unless and until one reaches the stage of the purest quality of goodness, in other words, until one transcends the plane of material speculation, it is not possible for one to know that everything emanates from the personality of Godhead Vasudeva. One's attachment to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord makes one unfit to rise to that transcendental stage of Vasudeva understanding. And therefore, because of one's unclean state of mind, one glides down again into material existence, even after having ascended to the highest stage of liberation. This fall down takes place due to one's want of a locus standi, Latin, meaning place of standing, in the service of the Supreme Lord. As far as the mystic powers of the yogis are concerned, they are also material entanglements on the path of spiritual realization. One German scholar who became a devotee of Godhead in India said that material science had already made laudable progress in duplicating the mystic powers of the yogis. He therefore came to India not to learn the methods of the yogis' mystic powers, but to learn the path of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, as mentioned in the great scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. Mystic powers can make a yogi materially powerful and thus give temporary relief from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease, as other material sciences can also do. But such mystic powers can never be a permanent source of relief from these miseries. Therefore, according to the Bhagavad school, this path of religiosity is also a method of cheating its followers. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly defined that the most elevated and powerful mystic yogi is one who can constantly think of the Supreme Lord within one's heart and engage in the loving service of the Lord. The path of worship of innumerable devas, or administrative demigods, is still more hazardous and uncertain than the above-mentioned processes of Karmakand and Gyanakand. this system of worshiping many gods, such as Durga, Shiva, Ganesha, Surya, and the impersonal Vishnu form, is accepted by persons who have been blinded by an intense desire for sense gratification. When properly executed in terms of the rites mentioned in the Shastras, which are now very difficult to perform in this age of want and scarcity, such worship can certainly fulfill one's desires for sense gratification, but the success obtained by such methods is certainly transient and is suitable only for a less intelligent person. That is the verdict of Bhagavad Gita. No sane man should be satisfied by such temporary benefits. None of the mentioned three religious paths can deliver a person from the threefold miseries of material existence, namely miseries caused by the body and mind, miseries caused by other living entities, and miseries caused by the demigods. The process of religion, described in Srimad Bhagavatam, however, is able to give its followers permanent relief from the threefold miseries. The Bhagavatam describes the highest religious form, reinstatement of the living entity in one's original position of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, which is free from the infections of desires for sense gratification, fruitive work, and the culture of knowledge, with the aim of merging into the Absolute to become one with the Supreme Lord. Just like to make a side comment, Prabhupada is consistent throughout his purports. Notice, reinstatement of the living entity's one's original position of transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord. That is something Prabhupada is consistent throughout all his books. The original position is that of service. The purport continues. Any process of religiosity based on sense gratification, gross or subtle, must be considered a pretentious religion because it is unable to give perpetual protection to its followers. The word prajita is significant. Pra means complete, and ujita indicates rejection. Religiosity in the shape of fruitive work is directly a method of gross sense gratification, whereas the process of culturing spiritual knowledge with a view to becoming one with the Absolute is a method of subtle sense gratification. All such pretentious religiosity based on gross or subtle sense gratification is completely rejected in the process of Bhagavad Dharma, or the transcendental religion that is the eternal function of the living being. Bhagavad Dharma, or the religious principle described in Srimad Bhagavatam, of which Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study, is meant for liberated persons of the highest order who attribute very little value to the sense gratification of pretentious religiosity. The first and foremost concern of fruitive workers, elevationists, empiric philosophers, and salvationists is to raise their material position. But devotees of Godhead have no such selfish desires. They serve the Supreme Lord only for His satisfaction. Sri Arjuna, wanting to satisfy his senses by becoming a so-called non-violent and pious man, at first decided not to fight. But when he was fully situated in the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, culminating in complete surrender unto the will of the Supreme Lord, he changed his decision and agreed to fight for the satisfaction of the Lord. He then said, Nashto maha smritir labdha twat prasadan mayachuta sthitosmi gata sandeha kurishye vachanang tava. My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions. It is the constitutional position of the living entity to be situated in this pure consciousness. Any so-called religious process that interferes with this unadulterated spiritual position of the living entity must therefore be considered a pretentious process of religiosity. The real form of religion is spontaneous loving service to Godhead. This relationship of the living being with the absolute personality of Godhead in service is eternal. The personality of Godhead is described as vastu, or the substance, and the living entities are described as vastavas, or the innumerable samples of the substance in relative existence. The relationship of these substantive portions with the supreme substance can never be annihilated, for it is an eternal quality inherent in the living being. By contact with material nature, the living entities exhibit varied symptoms of the disease of material consciousness. To cure this material disease is the supreme object of human life. The process that treats this disease is called Bhagavat Dharma or Sanatan Dharma, real religion. This is described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who, because of one's background of pious activities in previous lives, is anxious to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately realizes the presence of the Supreme Lord within one's heart and fulfills the mission of life. Srila Prabhupada ki. So one more thing. This one sentence in the purport. Satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. This is the whole basis of developing one's spiritual life. As long as one is not convinced that I'm spirit soul, that I'm part and parcel of Krishna, then one has to act under the consciousness that I am this body, or I am these senses, or I am my flickering mind. And as is being revealed in this episode of Bhagavatam, you are not going to be happy as long as I identify with this temporary body and this fickle mind. There's no way. Bhagavad Gita, what does it say? That why does one become frustrated? One becomes frustrated because he pursued lusty desires. Lusty desires means I want to satisfy my senses. But the problem is the matrix is so designed, you cannot be happy satisfying the senses. It doesn't work that way. You're not going to be, what is that phrase? Dushparain analainacha. The senses will never be satisfied, and they burn like fire. And therefore, since you can't get no satisfaction, you will become frustrated. And after frustration, you will become angry. And the cycle begins. Angry, then loss of memory, gradually go deeper, deeper down into material existence to suffer more. But you are different. Somehow or other, the day came when you realized, I don't want to suffer anymore. I'm tired of suffering. I want to be happy, but I cannot be happy anyway in this material world. How am I going to be happy? That is the million-dollar question. And that is why we distribute Prabhupada's books. We distribute Prabhupada's books because within Prabhupada's books is the answer to this fundamental question, how to be really happy. And it's there on every page of Prabhupada's books. So we give out Prabhupada's books. So we want to be merciful. We have already come to that step. We all are happy. Why are we happy? Because we're not on this platform anymore. We have transcended. We're doing devotional activities. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving. All these activities are spiritual. These are not material activities. Whether I'm sweeping the floor, that's not a material activity. That is a spiritual activity. Why? I'm cleaning Krishna's floor. I'm not a pot washer. No, I'm cleaning Krishna's pots. Everything we do is to remind us that we are connected to Krishna through service. So we hear, we chant, we pray, we worship, we study, we try to remember, but everything we're doing has connection with Krishna. It is not material. If you read the Nectar of Instruction, there's that one purport where Prabhupada is talking about those who are managers. If you're managing a temple, you have to worry about pounds, shilling, pence. But that's not outside the scope of Krishna consciousness. That's also a spiritual activity. Everything connected with this movement, with this Krishna consciousness, is yajna, sacrifice. It's spiritual. And we give out the mercy because we have become elevated. We have become delivered. We are on the spiritual platform. And therefore, out of compassion, out of mercy, we give it to others. Just one last thing before we open the floor for discussion. Yesterday I was in Govinda's restaurant, and there was a nice young man, and then at another table a nice young lady. And both of them said that they like Govinda's restaurant so much, they wish there were more. And I said, yes, there should be as many Govinda's restaurants as there are Starbucks restaurants. But who will do it? That is the question. In Brisbane, Australia, which is not a big city, it's a city, but not big, they have 3 Hare Krishna restaurants. Those of anyone who's been to Australia, the Australians love the devotees for prasadam. So, We give out books. We give out prasadam out of love and mercy. Okay? Do we have any discussion? Yes, Prabhu. There you go. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, prasadam is there when you pay this. Oh, it's not.
More discussion. That's it? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.